I have a hard time standing to preach, too. Now, I get up in the morning and I walk 2 miles every day. But I can't stand. Everybody's a little bit different. And believe me, I'm different. So I'm looking out there and I'm wondering, where are the 25? How many of you are members of this church? I got to bring my hand down. Let's see if there's 25 of you here. Well, you might make it. You might make it. I wonder sometimes whether what I'm supposed to be doing is giving you a sermon or sharing with you a meditation or giving a testimony. I could take a vote and see what you wanted, but that wouldn't work. I've been praying to see what the Lord would want me to say, so I've been trying to listen to that. You know, that's the best thing to do, is to try to listen to what the Lord tells you to do. I have a little bit of a problem sometimes with some people who would say they know exactly what God has told them. Not only do they know what God's told them to do, they know what God's told me to do. Now, you've probably met folks like that. But I think that there's some very important things that need to be done in any church service. And we've done two of them. We've done two of those things. Sing. You think we ought to sing every church service? I think we ought to sing, and we did sing. And then another thing that we always ought to do in any church service is pray. And I just heard a prayer, and I appreciate that. She even prayed for me. Amen. And I appreciate that. And then there's another thing that we all ought to do every time we get together, if we have any opportunity to do this at all, and that's read the scripture. And so I'm going to ask you to read with me from Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 15. Now, in the bulletin, it says 16, but that's what I told them a couple weeks ago when they first asked me if I could come, and I said, well, yeah, I'll do this, and I started with verse 16, but then I thought, well, I better go back a verse. So I'm going to read from verse 15 in Luke chapter 2. When the angels went away from them, the them is the shepherds. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen as it had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was to be circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's take another minute to pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is, not only that we have the right and the ability to call you Father, and to come to you through Jesus our Lord. What a privilege that is. And we would say this morning, not only that's wonderful, but it's wonderful that we have this opportunity, this gathering of people together who would encourage us to come and say, Our Father. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to come to the Creator of the universe The God who hides behind everything else so that we have the right to not believe, and that everybody around us has the right to not believe. So now we only have the right to believe as well, and to come and say to you, Our Father, thank you. Thank you that I have breath in my lungs this morning. Thank you that we have songs to sing this morning. Thank you that there's plenty of water in the ground this morning. And thank you that there is this word that we can share one with another, that we have received from old, and not just that we've received it from old, but it's the truth. We have the right to believe that, and people around us have the right to believe it too, and people around us have the right to believe differently. So, Lord, we come to you, our Father, and we say thank you. And now we are together, and now we will hear. And, oh, Lord, I pray for myself that the things that I would say would be useful to your Spirit in the hearts of these folks sitting here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Christians worship in different ways, very differently from one place to another, even from one congregation to another in the same town. I really didn't know what I was going to face when I came here and looked at you folks. I've been praying about it and thinking about it. But you know what today is? This is the fifth day of Christmas. Five gold rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. I have no idea what a partridge in a pear tree is. I suppose it's a bird sitting in a pear tree. But why were they put together like that? How many of you were around in 1975? Okay, all right. I can hold my hand up on that one. I'm not a member of this church, but I was here in 1975. At that time, there was a story going around about this song, The 12 Days of Christmas, and that story was that the Protestants had persecuted the Catholics, and the Catholics had this song, they made up this song for them to be able to keep their faith together during the Christmas season. And so they had the 12 days of Christmas. Now, I may not be the greatest preacher in the world, but everybody who's been around me very much knows that I'm a teacher. And so I'm going to teach you something this morning in case you don't know it. But in the Western Christian tradition, and we're all amongst the Western Christian tradition, there are six seasons really, but four that we can think of. You've heard of Lent, that's coming up. And the season that follows Lent is Easter. You might have heard of that. And then after Easter is called Common Time, normal time. And that goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And then you get to a brand new year, and the brand new year begins with Advent. And we just had the season of Advent during December. You've probably heard of it, Advent. Most of our songs that we sing during Advent, and we sing them about Christmas, but they're sung during Advent, because today is actually the fifth day of Christmas. The first day of Christmas is the 25th, when we get our presents opened, and we talk about Jesus being born on that day. That's the 25th. And then there are 12 days of Christmas, and we're in. Today is the fifth day of Christmas, and Christmas keeps the season of Christmas goes until the 12th day of Christmas, and then right after Christmas is Epiphany, the day of Epiphany. You may have heard of that too. That's the 6th of January. So from the 25th of December to the 5th through the 5th of January, those are the 12 days of Christmas. And then comes Epiphany. And then you have common time again for a long time until you get to, well, not a long time, it's shorter time that time, until you get to Lent. And every year's a little bit different because Christmas always comes in the Western tradition on begins on the 25th of December. But Lent is on the lunar calendar, and so it comes at a different time every year. Easter's variable, you know. Sometimes it's in March, sometimes it's in April. I think sometimes maybe it even goes all the way into May sometimes. But Christmas is always the same. My wife and I went to Israel a few years ago, had the opportunity to travel to Israel, and when we were there, we happened to be on Epiphany, or the day after Epiphany. Well, it was Epiphany. On Epiphany, we happened to be at the Church of the Holy Nativity in Bethlehem on that day. And I will tell you that there were amazing gatherings of people. Because all of us in the Western tradition, we think of Christmas as the 25th of December. But in the Eastern Christian tradition, they think of Christmas as Epiphany. That's when they celebrate. And so all of these people, there were just thousands of people were changing their clothes right out in public. They were putting on white robes outside the church, or sometimes even in the nave of the church, not the nave, but the entryway into the church. They were changing into these white robes because they were coming into the Church of the Nativity to celebrate Christmas in the Eastern tradition, and they would wear white robes into this church. Thousands of people. It was so crowded that we just kind of went through the church and went out and watched all the people, and then we went back to the bus, because that was just a bit more people than we could stand. You look here, and when I grew up in my town, where I grew up in Michigan, I attended a little church of about 500 people, and then there was the Baptist church. Like you folks are the Baptist church here in this town, First Baptist Church had almost 5,000 people every Sunday morning where I grew up. And that was a big church, I thought. But all those people at the Church of the Nativity changing into white robes because that was going to be the day that they celebrated Christmas. Why do I do all this? I want to say one thing to you. Some of you are young people. I can see some young people out there. Some of you are older people. Some of you are middle-aged people. I've got one thing to say to all of you. God loves you. God loves you. People come to God in so many different ways. Those people from the eastern part of the world, coming to Bethlehem, changing into white robes, they come to God that way. We open our presents on Christmas Day, we come to God that way. As a family, as individuals, we might stop and say, "Thank you, Jesus." For years, I ran into people, there were people that just kind of annoyed me. Something would happen. Greg told me something this morning. Something would happen, and they'd say, "Thank you, Jesus." How many times have you heard somebody say that right out in public? I was so annoyed at that sometimes. "Thank you, Jesus." And after a while, it got to me, and now I'll do that right in the Walmart store, right in the Aldi store, at the IGA, on the street. Something good happens, and I'll say, "Thank you, Jesus." Driving in my car, I could have been killed. That car came that way, that car came that way, I was going right, and it didn't happen. What could have happened didn't happen, and I say, "Thank you, Jesus." And, you know, now I look at myself and I say, "I'm one of those crazies. I'm one of those crazies." What? It's just normal life, and I'm saying, "Thank you, Jesus." That's right. That's right, because there is no normal life. Young people, listen to me. I grew up in a church. When I got to a certain age, I said, they're crazy. They're crazy. I was a member of the church. Some of you young people are even members of this church. I was a member of the church. I couldn't wait to get away. I couldn't wait to get away from the crazies. I was going to get out there and live in the real world. The real world, where I didn't have to deal with Jesus and Sister Johnson. Ugh. Ugh. I don't know if there's a Sister Johnson here. I'm sorry if there is. Crazies. And I'd been taught in school, I knew perfectly well that there was no God. That Jesus Christ story, that's a story that the old people tell because it's just hanging on from all of the myths and fairy tales that they were told by their parents, and their parents were told by their parents, and back and back and back. Please, we know that everything just comes out of nothing, and it's just a process of evolution. Now, I knew that perfectly well when I was 15 and 16 years old, and I could hardly wait to get away. I didn't want to hurt my parents. I didn't want to hurt my parents. They were good people. They meant well, but they were crazy. They believed that stuff. And I'd been taught better. I knew better. And I got away and I said, boy, not what, you know what? I don't know what to do out there in the world, but there was a thing going on when I was a kid at that age. It was called the Vietnam War, and they wanted soldiers. And as soon as I got out of high school, I went to be a soldier. I became a soldier. And I got to live in the real world. No more crazy. Well, I'll tell you something. After a few months in Vietnam and whatnot, I happened to be in town in Da Nang, Vietnam. And I was walking at the base there in Vietnam. And there was... Now, I'm telling a story on myself here. There was a Vietnamese woman that I thought, now, maybe I can get to her. And so I was trying. And she said to me, you know what? All Americans are Christians. I said, no, not all Americans are Christians. I'm not a Christian. I am not a Christian. And she said, well, she said, in Vietnam we have two kinds of people. We have the Buddhists and we have the Christians. And she said, I'm a Christian, and Christians believe this book. And she held up a Bible. And I said, oh, okay. And I thought, well, if that's important to her, I'll take that book, you know. And so I started reading the Bible. Now, I'd never read the Bible by myself before, you know. I'd always been told what to read and how to read and gone to church for years and years until I got over being crazy. And I thought, well, if the Bible's important to her, I'll read it. So I read it. You know what? She just saved herself from me being on her all the time, because I reading that book, some strange things happened. Have you ever opened a Bible in the middle? I just opened that Bible, and there was the book of Job. I'd never read the book of Job in my life. Before then, there it was, Job. Yeah, there is a lot of trouble in the world. And you know what? There's another one right near Job. It's called Ecclesiastes. Talk about, here's a young man in Vietnam fighting a war that he doesn't understand. And there was a guy thousands of years ago wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Did he know what was going on? He was trying to figure it out. I was trying to figure it out. I said, maybe there's something in this book. So I started reading it from the very beginning, and I read it all the way through. And one night when I was on duty, my job was to, nighttime, be in the radio in case something came. I did nothing for 12 hours, but I had my Bible. And one night I said, sitting on my stool in my radio rig, I said, God, if you're there and I don't believe you are, do something with me, because I can't do anything with myself. And I heard a voice say to me, Charles, if you're going to talk to me, get down on your knees. Charles, if you're going to talk to me, get down on your knees. So I moved my chair back. I turned it around. I knelt down at the chair. I put my head in my arms like that on my chair, and I said, God, if you're there, and I don't believe you are, do something with me because I can't do anything with myself. And I heard, if you don't believe I'm here, why are you on your knees? You know, right then, something happened. Right then, I had a choice to make. I could say, because right then, the next thing that came to my mind when I heard the Lord say to me, why are you on your knees? The next thing that came to my mind was, this is a Sunday school trained brain with traces of drugs in the middle of the night. This is nothing. This is a Sunday school trained brain with traces of drugs in the middle of the night. It means nothing. But I had been there. There was nobody in that place but me. And I'd heard the voice say to me, why are you on your knees? I believe in God because God spoke to me. And I tell you this morning, God loves you. God loves each and every one of you. God loves you, young people. God loves you, old people. God loves the young people who are saying, they're just crazy. I know it's really evolution. God loves you, old people who are saying within your mind, is it really real? Is it really real? I go to church every Sunday. It's important for me to do that. Is it really real? I pray. Is it real? I read the Bible. Is it real? When I talk to God, does God really talk to me? Or is that just my brain doing its thing the way that it was taught to do its thing? We've all been there. Friends, I don't know you, but I know God loves you, and I know God deals with each and every one of us. Every one of us, the way we need. Now, why do I go all through that? Where was the fifth day of Christmas in our text? I'm going back to the Bible here. Right there between verse 20 and verse 21. I went to the wrong, I'm in Job now. Got to get back to Luke. In Job, the verse 21 wasn't the same. Luke 2. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen as it had been told to them. Now Mary was pondering things in her heart. The angels had gone back into heaven. They'd gone to Bethlehem. They'd seen the baby. They'd seen the mother. They'd seen the father. They'd talked to other people. And now they went, returned. What did they return? They returned to their flock out there in the, you know, out there in the field. Out in the field, they returned to their flock, but they were praising God. And then right there between verse 20 and verse 21 is where we're at today. Verse 21 says, and at the end of 8 days, when he was to be circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name that was given to him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's where we're at, fifth day of Christmas. 5 gold rings. You got all the birds, you got the people, the maids milking, the Lord's leaping, the drummers drumming, And then there's only one thing. It's the rings, 5 gold rings. That's today. That's today. Right there between the night that Jesus was born and 8 days later when they took him to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. That's where we're at. We're in there in between. And different people deal with it in different ways. Why? In the Gospel of Mark, there's no Christmas story. In the Gospel of John, there's no Christmas story. We only get the Christmas story in Luke and in Matthew. Matthew tells about the angels and about the wise men. And Luke tells about the angels and the shepherds. And then when we get together at Christmas time, we shove them all together. You know, here's 8 days. In Matthew, it says, and after these things, it tells about the birth of Jesus, and it says, and after these things came wise men from the east. How long after? Well, the best bet is about 2 years after, because that's how old Jesus was. When they came to the house, not to the stable, but we tell these stories, and we mush it all together. We got the shepherds, we got the wise men, we got the angels, we got Mary, we got Joseph. But I wanted to get real careful. I'm that kind of a guy. I'm that teachy kind of a guy. I said, well, where's the fifth day of Christmas? Where are the 5 gold rings? Well, they're right there between verse 20 and verse 21. The shepherds went back, and then on the 8th day, they went to the temple. And that's where we're at, in between. People can look at this story differently. All kinds of people can look at it differently. Is it a sermon? Is it a meditation? Is it a testimony? There's a testimony in every meditation. There's a testimony in every sermon. What should we do when we get together as Christians? We should sing. We should pray. We should read the Bible, and we should share together a message. The message is God loves you. God loves each and every one of you. Tough question that I ran onto on the internet. I spend a lot of time on the internet. And this question came up. What's the one question that will always stump a Christian? I thought, well, that's a heading that caught my eye. That, you know how sometimes you look at those things and you say, what am I going to look at? All these things. What's the one question that's going to stump a Christian every time? And your mind is going right now. You're trying, well, what one question is always going to stump a Christian? And so I went and I looked at that thing. I watched the YouTube video on what's going to stump a Christian every time. And the answer to that question, the question that stumps a Christian every time is, are the people who believe differently than you do, are they going to hell? The people who believe differently than you do, are they going to hell? How would you answer that question? How would you answer that question? I thought to myself, how would I answer that question? My answer was, God loves those people. God doesn't want them to go to hell. God is not a bad guy sending people to hell. God isn't the kind of person that says, unless you do it just exactly the way I want you to, you're canceled. You're going to hell. No, God says, how can I get them? How can I reach out to them? What can I do? I love them. What can I do to convince them that I love them? I want them to come to heaven. I want them to be with me through all eternity. God wants you to be his friend. God wanted me to be his friend. How could he reach out to me? He reached out to me through one of my interests. And she said, we want to read this Bible. So I read this Bible. And having read the Bible, I said, they may not be crazy, but I sure don't understand what's going on. And here I am more than 50 years later, and I can promise you this. I am wrong. I don't know where I'm wrong. I keep trying to get more right all the time, or less wrong. But I can promise you that I am wrong. I suspect that you are too. Is that why I'm going to heaven? No. I can be wrong and go to heaven. Why? Because God sent His Son, and Jesus was born, and He slept there in the manger, and 2 years later, when the wise men came, they gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and those were very expensive items, and those very expensive items allowed the whole family to run away to Egypt for several years. And then when they came back, they didn't go to Bethlehem, they went to Nazareth. And by that time, the story, you know, the story of she got pregnant before they got married, that story was gone, you know. By the time they got back to Nazareth, God sent His Son. And His Son grew up and He taught. And He taught. And He said some things that the people of the day, that the leaders of the day said, oh, we can't have that. We can't have that. We got to kill Him. And they did. They killed Him. Did you know that? They actually killed Jesus Christ. He died for me. He died for you. Why? Because God loves you. God loves me. And God reached out to me when I was saying, I don't believe you, God. I'm in a mess, but I don't believe in you. And God said, Charles, if you're going to talk to me, get down on your knees. I thought, what have I got to lose? I got down on my knees. And I said, God, I don't believe in you, but I need help. And God said, if you don't believe in me, why are you on your knees? That's my testimony, folks. You've got a testimony. Where is it that that light went on? When did the light go on that said, it's true? So I wrote a letter to the church that I was a member of. I wrote a letter to the church I was a member of, and I said, Pastor, you can take my name off your rolls. I don't want to be associated with you pack of hypocrites. I've run into the real thing. Oh, my. Some of you young people, I just pray for you that you're going to run into the real thing. And then after a few years of that, I was driving along and something happened, one of those times when you say, wow, thank you, Jesus. And I pulled over to the side of the road and I said, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus said to me, Charles, you've got a problem. You've got a problem because you're looking for the church that's perfect. And you're already a member of that pack of hypocrites. Go back and be a good hypocrite. Go back and be a good hypocrite. And I did. And here I am for you, folks. I'm a member of the hypocrite pack. Every Christian in the world looks at Jesus a little bit differently. Every group of Christians in the world looks at Jesus a little bit differently. What's the question that can catch every Christian out? Do people who believe things differently than you do, are they going to hell? I hope not. I hope not, because God loves them and Jesus died for them. That's my message today. It's pretty simple, isn't it? It gets lost between verse 20 and verse 21. Five gold rings. God loves you. God loves you. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and we're going to sing a song. I love this song. They asked me if I wanted to sing this song. I love this song. And so we're going to sing it because it's very important. I'm going to give you instructions. It's, what is it, 182 in the hymn book? If you look in there, 182, there's a point where you say, joy, joy, joy. And then it says echo. So it's supposed to go, joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy. Praise to the Lord in heaven on high. Yeah, so it's supposed to be loud and then an echo, loud and an echo. I don't know who your musicians are, but I'm just giving you instructions on how to sing that song, okay? And then one other instruction. 25 of you stay for the meeting, okay? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have come to us in Jesus Christ, so that we may come to you. O Lord, I pray for each person in this room today that eternity with God will be heaven, not hell. That eternity in your presence will not be me rebelling against you, but me snuggling up and saying, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.